This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
What a big podcast we have coming up, Ash.
I'm a little nervous because you had a very, I almost want to say life-altering conversation with a Bachelor alum a week and a half ago. I wasn't here last week, but you briefly brought it up. You had a little bit of a Twitter war with Ashley Spivey.
I think it's fair to say life-altering.
Okay.
It feels life-altering. It hasn't left my mind since it's happened in both good and bad ways. Yeah, I think you're spot on.
Okay, well, if people don't know, Ashley Spivey was on Brad Womack's season, which is the first season I started watching. And while she hasn't been like a big, she didn't make a big splash on her season. She certainly made a big splash on Twitter over the past couple of years. She's worked hand in hand with reality Steve a lot and has broken a lot of stories in Bachelor Nation, including the whole Garrett controversy and his liked Instagrams. And now she has tweeted at you something, I want to say it's kind of political. It's something about, Ben, why don't you explain what she went after you with last week?
It's pretty holistic, actually, as we think about it. So last week, there's just a lot right now. And I don't know if in today's age, I think we can throw around words and we can get stuck in things and say, oh, this in today's age, we're more divisive than ever, not only in religion, but politics and faith and friend groups, whatever. It just feels like there's a lot of divisiveness. And I think at some level that is true, but we've always had divisiveness, right? You go back to the Civil War, there's been divisiveness. Mm-hmm. The country was against each other. And so what I can control is kind of what I believe is the solution to this divisiveness. And so I was laying in bed.
I think it was Saturday morning because I was 10, also 11. Laying in bed when I saw these tweets.
Yeah, it was 10/11/2018, and I tweeted, the only thing I know, and I think anybody out there listening might understand where I'm coming from on this, but as a Christian, I believe that Christianity has been terribly represented in recent years. I believe that we no longer are focusing on how to accept, love, and support people and serve people well, but instead, somehow evangelicals have been associated with pushing people aside, hating on people, bigotry and supporting almost injustice. It's weird to me, but I know Jesus wouldn't stand for it. And so I was sitting in bed. I was like, well, how do I, as a Christian, confront the darkness and the divisiveness that feels like is existing in our world today? And I did this tweet. It says, we all believe a bunch of different things, referring pretty much to my faith and my background. And we all have our incredibly valid reasons for that. But then I said, no matter what you believe, can we all agree that light conquers darkness? And I said, darkness equals hate, bigotry, injustice, inequality, et cetera. Those things will never conquer the light. And I believe this. I still believe this to this day. I believe that the only way to confront evil and to really solve the most evil questions that we have in the world today is by sharing light, by shedding light, by showing love, by showing kindness, by sacrificing almost everything for the sake of service and love.
I read that and I was like, oh, that's a nice little message of hope. You know, it's a nice inspirational thing to read today. Yeah, on Twitter.
The best I can do on Twitter. And I believe this.
But not everyone thought that statement was as simple as I did.
Not everybody did. Ashley Spivey was one of those. She tweeted back and she said this. I cannot quote her quote verbatim because it has been deleted. But it said it referred to me coming from a place of white privilege. And I can't help where I came from. I can't help that I'm white. I can't help that my dad has done very well for himself. And I'm really proud of him for that. And I can't help that a lot of these situations that I'm talking about, I don't understand. But what I do know is my job is to support people in Honduras and in Africa and here in the United States who have been a part of injustices, who have had less opportunities than I have. My job is to try and find ways to relate to their situation so that we can come up with sustainable solutions to help their lives increase, get to a better place. And so I don't think I was the right target for this. There's not a lot of things I would say I do well. One of the things in life I do well is at least attempting to understand people who maybe aren't as fortunate as I have been. Mm-hmm. I do think I do that all right. It's what I do for a living.
I think you do too. I think you do a fantastic job with it. You and Ashley actually got on the phone after a couple back and forth messages on Twitter. And while you have talked before, we're also going to have her come on the podcast today. And you're going to talk it out a little bit more and explain to people what you guys have learned about each other.
You're spot on, Ashley. And I, you know, we have talked mostly about the tweets and about the situation, but we've saved a lot for this podcast. I think when it comes to actionable steps, when it comes to ways for me to be able to get involved, for anybody out there listening to get involved, for really the details of where this comes from for Ashley's and from Ashley is things we haven't talked about yet. We really wanted to save it to speak publicly. And the reason we want to do that is because as we were continuing to talk afterwards on the phone, it felt like we could understand each other more, but this is something that needs to be spread to a platform. And what better platform than the Almost Famous podcast? Because we have listeners who care. Before we bring Ashley on, I do want to take a second and pause and talk about a company that does care about you as well, BioClarity. We've talked about BioClarity before, and we found this great, clean, and gentle skincare line that helps me get naturally glowing skin that's 100% vegan, cruelty-free. There's a routine to all of this. It's three easy steps. You cleanse, you treat, and you restore. This contains plant extracts like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, licorice root, oat kernel, plus Floralux from chlorophyll. It helps fight breakouts, smooth skin, minimize redness, reduce pore size, and even skin tone. Gets results with Garden Lush ingredients in as little as 2 weeks. This is true. I actually, a little hint, a little teaser that we can't talk about. I was on, I'm going to be on The Bachelor a couple times this year. And,
a couple times?
I heard this. Oh my God. This rumor.
So they can't get you to be The Bachelor, but they can have you come back for plenty of cameos.
A little less of a commitment. And in prep for the filming of the show, because, I mean, if I'm only going to be on a couple times, I've got to make sure to look good while doing it. I literally was sticking BioClarity all over my face for the last 2 weeks, hoping that I looked a little better
Wait,
for screen time.
Let's see your face. It's actually pretty smooth.
I know, Amy.
Really good.
Floralux BioClarity's unique ingredients. What is it? Floralux is a clever form of chlorophyll. It's proven for nourishing the skin, soothing away imperfections and blemishes. Floralux has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties that feed your skin from the outside in. It's like green juice for your face. Detox and rebalance with BioClarity. BioClarity is delivered straight to you, and it is easy to use, three-step skincare routine that's 100% vegan plus cruelty-free. And it's gluten-free. Everything's gluten-free. That's insane. Even stuff you put in your face. What did they do 50 years ago? Okay, so anybody out there listening, we'll speed it up here. I know you're sold. You want better skin. You need better skin. So here's how you do it. Get started on a healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to bioclarity.com. Our listeners will get their first month for 50% off a routine, plus shipping is free. And it comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you need to enter our code, FAMOUS. That's bioclarity.com. Enter our code, FAMOUS, today. Hey, Ashley Iaconetti.
Yeah.
Before we bring on Ashley Spivey, I do have one question.
Because
we have a busy podcast today, huge guest coming on. Are acai bowls good for you?
Yeah, they are. They are good for you. I can't say I've really ever had one, though. But I am trying to take care of my insides a little bit better, like you're trying to take care of your outsides a little bit better.
Yeah.
We have been away from LA for like 12 days now, and I've just been eating like crap. I couldn't wait to come home and cook some home cooking with Blue Apron. Blue Apron, their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. This is how it works. You're going to choose from chef-designed recipes, and they're going to deliver fresh, seasonally inspired ingredients, and you're going to be able to cook these meals in as little as 20 minutes. Blue Apron does the meal prep for you, and you get dinner in 20 minutes. It's pretty amazing. Every week, you're going to choose at least three recipes that are built with your busy schedule in mind, where Blue Apron has done the meal prep for you, like prepared the sauces, the spices, and the ingredients. It's all going to be there portioned out for you. Blue Apron offers a range of recipes that are bursting with flavor. Whether you're looking for something quick and easy, or a full culinary cooking experience, Blue Apron has a choice and a range of recipes for you. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free.
A home-cooked meal sounds so good right now. I'm starving. And it just really makes a difference.
Me too. And I like the way that these are seasonally inspired. So you're going to get like fall recipes for fall, like pumpkin and squash and all that good stuff. So you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/almostfamous. That's first three meals for free, guys. Why wouldn't you do that? It's blueapron.com/almostfamous for your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I like that one, Ashley. You're killing it there. I meant it, though. I feel like nowadays, and this is no longer about Blue Apron. It kind of is, I guess. Everything you eat that you think is good for you is actually bad for you at some level. Like acai bowls. I was in getting an acai bowl this morning. Somebody in line go. I was like, oh, I just needed something healthy. They had the ability. Really want to just – this could be an angry
is
podcast.
Your mouth watering?
A little bit. They looked at me and they said, you realize this has more sugar than pop?
Oh, really?
And I was like, you got to be joking me. Like, I literally came all the way. I drove 10 minutes to get an acai bowl because I was trying to look healthy, feel healthy, be healthy. And you're going to ruin this for me, little person who's standing in front of me, who's really going to make me angry before a podcast. I don't know if anything's healthy anymore. I know Blue Apron
honestly
tries really hard.
Nothing is like healthy unless you're eating raw broccoli. You know, there's something wrong with everything. But Blue Apron's going to really try your best to make something tasty and healthy.
Oh, I know. Anyways.
Anyway, we're about to get deep now. Ashley Spivey's about to come on. And I just want to let you know that at the end of this podcast, we are also going to be talking about the disappearance of Wills. Wills, that's right. Not Wells, Wills. And then we're going to have Tanner Tolbert come on to talk about how he's officiating the wedding. And some of you out there,
my arch nemesis.
Yeah, some of you are mad at me because I had once upon a time said something like Ben was going to officiate, but now Tanner is. We're going to talk about that later. But first up, we're going to talk to Ashley Spivey.
Ashley, are you out there?
I am.
Ashley Spivey, thank you for joining the Almost Famous podcast.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ashley.
Ashley, my co-host,
good,
Ashley Iaconetti, is sitting in studio as well. We really are thrilled to have you. We've had a ton of responses this week since kind of announcing that you and I would be talking on this podcast this week. I've already introduced who you are, how people know you, and then also the situation at hand. So I think it's best if we just dive into this. I really want to hear... when you read my tweet, what kind of set you off? And I want you to be as open and honest. You and I have talked this through, but I want you to be as open as honest as possible because I think the fans and the listeners of this really kind of need to relate with your emotions and why you decided to tweet me.
For sure. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for even having me on after what did happen on Twitter. I do hope that me talking about it, at least, or providing some background, will kind of help people know where my head was at. When I read your tweet, I had just come off a particularly rough 3 weeks with the Kavanaugh hearings and everything like that. It was very triggering to me as a sexual assault survivor. I'm not sure if y'all have ever heard me talk about it or read me talk about it, but I, in college, kind of experienced something similar to Dr. Ford. I went to the college of my dreams. I was drunk at a fraternity event and raped. I don't remember anything that happened, luckily. But I do know that it happened due to some witnesses' account and the way I felt the next day. I'm pretty sure anyone out there who has been raped can tell you, you definitely know the next day. How do I explain this? My feelings on the matter are definitely impacted by the situation that I went through. going to that school, I had a full scholarship. I was very excited to go there for the next 4 years of my life. After that happened, I was robbed of that experience because I no longer felt safe in that environment. I became very sick. I became very depressed. I decided to leave that school due to everything that happened. And my dad was also an alumni of that college as well. He became pretty upset at me due to me leaving because I think, you know, I was kind of continuing on in his dreams, you know. But I decided to leave the school. He became pretty upset at me. I felt like I could never tell him kind of what happened just because I wasn't ready to tell anyone at that point, and I didn't want him to know what had happened to me. And probably about a year and a half later, he passed away without me being able. Sorry, I'm trying to.
You're right.
Without me being able to tell him why I left. And he was always just very upset and confused, I think, about me leaving.
I'm so sorry, Ashley. This is such a sad story.
And I don't even want y'all to think I'm telling you this story for sympathy, but I want people to know that when women were going through the past month, just with everything that's been going on, it's been triggering. And when I saw you talk about light and darkness, I find it hard to look for the light in this type of situation. And with everything that went on, it just seems like the darkness is consuming. And I think when I'm angry or when anyone is angry, they do not pick their words well. And I think that I did cross a couple of lines in the things that I said. I don't apologize for my anger, but I apologize for the way that I worded things, and I apologize for my misdirected rage. But I just hope that in sharing that with y'all, you understand where I'm coming from, and also in sharing my story, which I think is important to do in Bachelor Nation, just because a large majority of the audience is women, women under 30, who are the people that are experiencing the most situations of sexual assault. I think it's important to share these stories and for our audience to know that there are allies out there for them, and there are people who they can talk to if they have experienced kind of a similar situation.
You know, this is, and we, again, we talked about the background of everything, and, you know, Ashley did something incredible after these tweets kind of blew up, and she sent me an Instagram message and just asked if we could talk on the phone, because at that point it had gotten out of control, and I was being compared to people that I hope to never be compared with and associated with people that I hope to never be associated with. And I think at that point, Ashley, you had seen that and thought this was something that we needed to talk about together.
Sure.
And so we talked on the phone, and all I really want to do is hear where Ashley was coming from, similar to what just happened there, to hear her story, and she wanted to hear mine. And what we realize is we both, Ashley has been a victim, and I have somebody that's one of the closest people in my lives who is also a victim of sexual assault and rape. And it has affected her life for a really long time. And it's an odd scenario when somebody doesn't feel like there's a place to talk about it. It carries a burden that is something that allows some asshole to control you for too long. And so talking to Ashley, we realize we're on the same team. And that's why I wanted to have her on this podcast this year. She's angry. She's pissed off. And yes, it came towards me, and I'm not happy with her about that. She knows that.
Yeah.
But it's allowed us now the platform to speak about it. And so I wanted Ashley to come on here and have a platform, because Almost Famous listeners, you're incredible listeners. You have really strong opinions. You engage in our conversations every time, no matter if we're talking about The Bachelor or we're talking about something that's actually really serious. And so, Ashley, I want to now spend time, now that we're both in the same team, you realize that I'm really unhappy that I was associated to anything happening in this world, but I'm also really glad now we have the platform to talk about it. I want to spend some time just asking you a few questions. For anybody out there listening to this podcast saying, hey, I've been there also, I can relate. I want to just have you take some time to be their advocate. So, Ashley, based on your situation, what advice do you give to any young person out there struggling as a victim of sexual assault?
My first piece of advice would be to talk to someone, whether it's a friend, a family member, a therapist. You don't have to be in this situation alone, and you don't have anything to be ashamed of. It is in no way your fault what happened to you. The sooner you try to deal with the issues that are going to arise from this traumatic event, the easier it will be to heal from this trauma. You definitely don't have to suffer alone. I know that sometimes it can be hard to tell friends or family members. Like, I mean, I still haven't necessarily even had a conversation with my mom about it. Just because even at this point, it seems just too hard. But I have been able to speak with a therapist for years. I have been able to talk to my friends. My husband is very, very supportive. So definitely talk about it. It helps.
We're going to, at the end of this little segment, Ashley and I have, we want to focus some attention on a couple of the organizations out there that you can talk to. We've picked those out, and I'll explain those in a little bit. But to continue to kind of dive into this a little bit, Ashley, my tweet, as mentioned before, was focused on being the light in a dark world and trying to shine a light in some dark places. I do still strongly believe that that is the only way to overcome evil is with good and with light. And I know that you have some more tangible, because I think one of your biggest complaints to me, and I get it, was that they're very big fluffy words I was throwing around, right? That just seem like they're coming from a place of not hurt, of not understanding, of unrelatability. And I think once we talked, you realized that maybe could not personally relate, but I know somebody very close to me that can. And so those words were not light. They have a meaning behind them. And I want to hear from you, what are some ways when you say heal from this situation, what are some ways that you've been pointed or that's helped you heal from something so traumatic?
I think by just trying to educate everyone around you on the statistics of how often these events occur, and how you can be a better ally to people who have been in these types of situations. I think that was the thing that was the hardest to deal with in the past couple of weeks, is seeing how people respond to a survivor's story or a victim's story by not believing them and by making some false parallels. I just really feel like the more education we get out there and the more we talk about this subject and the more we try to be empathetic and just listen, you don't automatically have to arrive at a conclusion by listening to a survivor's story. just being there for that person to, you know, tell you their story is going to make all the difference in the world. And I think that's a big thing behind the whole Believe Women or Believe Survivors movement, is we want to be able to tell our stories without fear of being told that we're making a false accusation or not being believed.
What are some of the things that, as you see this, and you've dug pretty deep into this being your mission and your passion and kind of your purpose, what are some of the reasons that you see on why people aren't believing the victims? What's the communication? Where is the communication missing?
I think that a lot of people get exposed to scare tactics or misinformation. There was a lot going around about, I forget what even the hashtag was, but it was like, not my son or something like that. And when you look at the statistics of false accusations, they're very low. It's between like 2 and 10%. And even that amount of data isn't accurate, just because the police stations or the people reporting these numbers aren't using the same type of data set whenever they're looking at these. So I think the best thing to do is to volunteer with organizations that do help women through these types of situations, or to read up on any type of literature you can consume that deals with this type of subject. The more we expose ourselves to these situations and listening to people's stories, the better we can serve them.
I think you're spot on. And one of the things I've learned from this is, and Ashley, again, has been quick to tell me, there's a lot of things I don't understand. As somebody that's not a victim myself, there's a lot of things that I don't understand, and I have to admit that, right? So somebody, Ashley, that's out there that doesn't understand, but knows it's wrong, that maybe has been around somebody that's closely been affected by sexual assault, what can I do? How can I help? How can I relate? How can I make sure that when I do send a message out there to say, hey, let's all be better, that it doesn't come from a place of not understanding or unrelatability, but it comes from a place of, for people like yourself to say, there's an ally. He's on my team. He's part of the good ones.
I actually think your first statement was kind of the first step in all of that. I think it's wonderful to hear a guy say that he doesn't understand and he'll never know what that feels like, but he wants to try. I really do feel like that's the first step. I think that we all have to step out of our situations of not knowing how things go and wanting to immediately judge or form an opinion, and just saying, you know what, I don't get this. Please tell me more about it. That really is the first step. I think you've already kind of had experience with this, but just listening to their story and wanting to help them heal through the trauma, I think that's all you can do.
There's obviously a thousand things here, Ashley, in this interview that, I mean, we could talk about for hours. And there's some big lessons learned, I think, through our scenario and this Twitter exchange, and how both of us were unable to fully comprehend each other's stories just by using Twitter. Something we talk about all the time on this podcast is the beauty, the pros to social media, but also the cons.
For sure.
For you in this kind of Twitter exchange with me, and I don't just want to make this about me, because you know, you and I have seen, hopefully, that we are on the same team. What are some of the lessons that you've learned and how you approach these situations from a distance?
I think that in terms of this situation, I've learned that I don't always have to be so aggressive. I'm definitely someone who has never been scared to bring an uncomfortable element into my conversation. just because I do feel like a lot of times change does come from getting uncomfortable and really digging in deep. But I know that I can be a little more aggressive than I should be. And for us to really have these types of conversations where people can learn a lot and can heal a lot, my rhetoric isn't always as useful as it could be if I'm just so aggressive out the gate. So I'm definitely going to work on that. I do want to be able to be as optimistic as you. So that's something that I'm definitely taking from yours and my conversation, or our many conversations that we've had from this. Thank you at least for inspiring me to try to be better at that.
Well, and you know, we can pat each other on the back here because I want to thank you. And that's the final question before I let Ashley, because I know she probably has some stuff that she's holding on to that she wants to ask you. And I know our producer has maybe a couple questions as well, and I want to open up the forum to that. I also want to take this second to say that anybody out there listening, if you have any questions, if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to really relate with, please email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com. I think we would love to take it in your emails and your stories. Also, at the end of the end of the segment, I'm going to be pointing you to an organization that has a hotline you can call to talk to somebody. Please listen to that. But Ashley, as I was saying, you know, I do seem to be optimistic in my hope for humanity. But you also challenged me with a statement that said, Ben, you have a platform, speak on something directly, stand for something, and don't throw big fluffy words around. And that is a charge I want to take as well. It's hard on social media, but I want to do that. And so I want to pass that also over to you to say, what is your hope for Bachelor Nation? We have a lot of Bachelor fans listening. Bachelor Nation gets a massive following. There's a ton of responsibility with this following. Millions of people follow us each year. What is your hope for the people that come off the show, that participate in the show, that have been on the show? What do you hope they use their platforms for? Ashley,
I do think that people in Bachelor Nation tend to shy away from, I don't even want to say political statements or kind of posting about politics, just because I think that they do have a lot of fear of losing followers or in some way that would affect their sponsorships or something like that. But I do think that, you know, pretty much everyone is against rape. I think that is something that we all can shine a light on, say that there are resources for anyone who has been through sexual assault or sexual abuse. I wish that that was highlighted more over the past couple of weeks. You don't have to say that you're a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or a liberal or anything like that. You can encourage more people to vote. You can use your platform for good in a way that doesn't just include how many followers we're going to gain or lose or prevent us from getting a sponsorship.
Do you guys think that social media is a difficult place to have conversations like this because so much is misconstrued? I think that's one of my, you know, in looking at your tweets and looking at the things that have happened on social media, it's a very hard place to really get into discussions like this, and they seem to go sideways.
They're always hostile when they're done on social media. And what I wanted to say was, just sitting back and listening to you guys talk, it's so incredible the difference between how calm and sensitive everyone is when they're actually talking, but when they're either texting or they're on Twitter, it just comes across in a completely different way, because so much can get lost in the written word. But when you have tone and you're talking like this, it just comes across completely differently. And something's actually done. You know, you feel like something's been accomplished at the end of the conversation, not just fighting. So I just wanted to tell you guys how awesome it was just listening to you talk that out.
And I wanted to hear what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely say I think I am very politically active on Twitter or Instagram. I don't have the followings that y'all have. So I do try to have those conversations, mostly because I can respond to all of them. I don't know if y'all necessarily can, just because, I mean, y'all have millions of followers or hundreds of thousands of followers. I don't have anywhere close to that number. So I do try to do the most with my tiny platform, just because I do know that a lot of people that follow me like to have those conversations. Like I said, I do think a lot of things can get misconstrued on Twitter. And if I'm lucky enough, like I was with Ben, we can continue those conversations, and hopefully that's what adds value to these types of interactions.
Actually, Ashley, I wanted to switch gears a little bit and actually talk about your presence online, because for somebody who hasn't been on a Bachelor show for, has it been almost 8 years now, you actually have quite a presence online. How have you gotten so involved and known? I know you've worked a little bit with Reality Steve, but it does seem like you've sort of become a Bachelor investigative journalist.
You know, that investigative journalist stuff just happened by chance. I don't know how I got this role. But I will say one thing that I think I have always tried to do in Bachelor Nation is kind of be like a truth teller. Mm-hmm. So after my season, I started a recap blog, kind of where I would kind of like lift the veil behind things that were going on behind the scenes that people weren't necessarily seeing, or clue people in on, like, that you can get a bad edit or things like that, because that didn't exist back when I was on the show.
That's true. Did you call out production and stuff, and did they come after you?
Well, they hired me actually to do it for ABC.com.
No way.
I mean, it was so different back then. And then kind of what happened is that I found out there was a male cast member who was doing a recap that was much shorter than mine. Mine, I'm not kidding, probably took like 12 hours, where I would basically like Whoa. Make a meme out of all these pictures. And he was getting paid double what I was getting paid to write them.
No way.
So I stopped.
No way.
But it was fine, because it took up so much of my time anyway. And then, yeah, I've tried to speak out on things I didn't love whenever Caitlin was slut-shamed during her season. I was very vocal about that. I hated the racism that Rachel had to endure. So
I want to ask Ashley Spivey sort of a tough question. And I have mixed feelings on it, because I can't see all the tweets, but you seem, especially in this conversation, like you're really open to hearing another perspective, another side. And we got a lot of, you know, people reaching out to us that you block them on Twitter. So I'm more curious where your thought process is there, because I'm hearing you say you want to have conversations and you want to be open and you want to have a dialogue going. And then the blocking seems to be the opposite of that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't know if Ashley and Ben have ever had this happen to them, but I think there's something to be said about having an actual discussion. And then sometimes when people are definitely trolling or trying to be hurtful towards you or trying to say messed up things, sometimes it's just easier to block them than to
That's fair. I think some of the people that reached out to us don't feel that they were doing that, but I'm not in your head to know why you blocked a person over another. And we have had a lot of people come after us. And one of the things that I'm most proud of Ben and Ashley is they listen to it every time. They hear the people out every time. And so, you know, that's just my two cents on that. You can do whatever you want. But I do think if we are going to really be open and making progress, we have to hear other people's perspectives.
For sure. I mean, I don't think that I've, besides the blocking, which I don't even think I have that many people blocked. And the only reason I know the number is because whenever Chrissy Teigen showed her block list, I think I may have posted mine or even said how many people I had blocked. So the number is not that great. It's more so like, I mean, there were probably some people from like the Morning Toast group or something that had come after me and had said some things, but just, I'm willing to have conversations with people who are respectful and not trolling. And if people really did feel like they were coming to me with those conversations and I blocked them, I apologize for that, but I really do try to limit it to people who are being harmful in their comments or their tweets.
Okay. Ben and Ashley, I have a question for both of you about trolls. Do you think that, I've always been confused as to what to do with them. Should I block them and then just get them out of my life? Or does blocking them show that they've affected me so much?
Well, they've affected me 100%. That's exactly why I'm blocking them.
Yeah. So you like, angry. Yeah, but then I feel like it almost gives them power. Like, oh, I did my job. I knew. Yeah.
I could care less if they felt power in that moment. I just don't want, this, and Ashley, I'm not speaking for you. Ashley Spivey,
I'll talk about it too.
I'll let you answer this. But I noticed that, even Ashley Spivey, geez, called, and I promised you we would never bring it up again, but she called me vanilla. Boring. Like, and I hate that. Like, it makes me so angry. I don't know why. And so when people do that, like, it's almost like an automatic, like, I don't want to hear your opinion anymore.
You make a really good point there, and I think Ashley spoke to it. But again, my thing is, stand strong on your opinions, but I think your message gets lost when you do that, which I think you address.
No, that's what I said. Like, I know that my anger does not always manifest in the best of ways. And one of those things is sometimes I can get a little too fired up and say hurtful things like many people do when they're angry. But I have apologized to Ben for that. And we've had a couple of jokes about it.
Hey, Ashley, this is also just a general question. I wonder if I do it too. Would you say those things if he were in front of your face, or is that something that you just say because, like, he's a public figure and you're on Twitter? Because obviously I talk about in some, like, my Cosmo blog and stuff, I will make fun of people because I haven't met them yet, and I wouldn't say it to their face in person, and then I meet them and I'm like, oh my God, that's so embarrassing. But, like, what do you think?
I have a couple of instances of that with previous Bachelor seasons. Like I said in the recap blog I used to have, I think I called Sean Lowe like a vanilla ginger.
Well,
or I
no.
even even said a couple of things about other people. And when I met them in person, they were like, we were ready to like hate you and think you were a total bitch. But now you're like a little piece of dynamite. Like with a southern accent, you know.
Aww.
I think it's funny because I was kind of wondering what y'all thought I was going to be like before I came on the podcast, and I'm sure you thought I was going to be like super angry with like a really mean, like scary voice or something.
I did think you were gonna have a scary voice, and then I came on. She's like, oh, she's a southern sweetheart.
I think you're exactly what you are. You're trying. Working hard to do what's right for you and figuring out how to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I hope too, in terms of trying to do what's right for me, I'm an empath. So other people's feelings and hurt and suffering really affects me. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to do for other people. I mean, I'm a nanny. You know what I mean? Like my job is really to try to take care of other people. And I know probably the best expression of that was not what happened on Twitter, but it truly is my heart.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being used for good. And you were the catalyst to letting that happen. You reached out to me. You said, hey, this doesn't seem like this is going in a direction on Twitter that is anywhere good or healthy. Can we talk? Ashley, I think Amy brings up a great point. I've gotten to hear your story. Your story is so many others out there that just haven't felt like they can share it yet. And a lot of this does get lost in anger. And so I think a good takeaway from all of us listening to this and me including even talking about it, is when we do confront these issues, we can be angry and we can feel angry, but make sure we're communicating our message clearly and effectively every time. With this, Ashley, Spivey, and I wanted to try, we talked and we tried to figure out what we could do about this outside of just talking on this podcast. And so we thought there's a couple organizations out there that are really in support of women, that are in the support of just also hearing anybody's stories that are victims of sexual assault, because this is not just something that happens to women. Men are involved in as well. And so I want to make sure to highlight and ask anybody out there listening to donate to RAIN, and that's spelled R-A-I-N-N. Ashley has brought this network to my attention. I wanted to tell you a little bit about it. RAIN, the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, is the nation's largest anti-sexual violence organization. RAIN created and operates the National Sexual Assault Hotline, 800-656-HOPE. You can also visit them online at online.rain.org. If you are a victim, if you haven't told your story, or maybe you have and you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to RAIN. Also, if you're out there listening and maybe you've been affected or you haven't been affected, consider donating to RAIN. This is something that has affected so many. And if I can get on my soapbox for a second. I cannot imagine living a life where something so personal and something that affects all of us, no matter who you are or what your practices have been so much, and not tell your story or not feel like you have the opportunity to tell the story. For anybody out there that has caused this pain on somebody, I hope you feel the heaviness and the weight and the impact at which you're affecting lives in the worst of ways. And I also hope that there is a redemption and a redeeming quality to all of this. But none of us will be ever able to understand unless we start talking about it. And so start having these conversations. I hope you do not feel ashamed. For anybody that's a victim and you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to this podcast and we will make sure to get you in contact with somebody. Ashley, I know you are going to highlight an organization that's close and near and dear to my heart, and a lot of listeners know about it. And I just want to give you kind of the last word, because I know you have to get to work, on anything you want to kind of finish up with.
Oh, no, I wanted to thank you for allowing me to come on the podcast and explain myself, and special thanks to Ashley and Amy, because I know y'all were very happy with me, but I do hope that through this talk, I've hopefully been able to change your mind a little bit.
You certainly have, definitely.
And then, like I said, Ben and I are going to donate to each other's cause that we Aww. Brought to each other. Just because I do feel like this conversation was so productive, and I wanted to do it as a joint effort of faith in the other person, that I do appreciate Ben for what he stands for, and I hope he appreciates me for at least what I've been willing to share with him, and I do hope that this talk will inspire other listeners to have those same types of conversations, so thank y'all for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate it, Ashley.
It was a fantastic experience just listening to you guys.
Thank you so
Ashley,
much.
Ashley Spivey, never stand down. We can always become better at communicating, but I do appreciate you. And this has been one of the craziest weeks and a half of my life on learning and educating and figuring this out. And also just knowing that you have a story to tell, and all of this comes from a place of a lot of hurt. And so, let's stand up together. And Ashley, Spivey, thanks for coming on the podcast. I know it was a risk, but I hope you feel like it was fruitful. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Ben. I do feel better.
Bye, Ashley.
Bye.
Okay. Wow.
Ashley, this is the takeaway, one of the takeaways that I have. And I think we're seeing it today, no matter, and Ashley Spivey spoke on it. I know there's a lot of criticism out there on, you know, we've sacredized the Me Too movement. Too many people are claiming it. There's too many false accusations. And I just have a hard time believing that. I just think there's a lot more victims than anybody ever realized. I think a lot of people have been affected by sexual assault. And I think it's shocking right now to the public when so many people are coming out and saying, I've been hurt. But I also think there's an important lesson there, and one that Ashley Spivey and I have spoken about, is the Me Too movement is sacred. We have to hold it up and say, when you make a claim, it carries an impact and it carries a weight to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in this day and age, as we communicate with each other, as we throw accusations at each other, we have to make sure that we're doing it in truth. And Ashley Spivey spoke on that. This, she wants to be a messenger of truth. And I think one of the hardest things that for me in this was that I was being compared to people that I know I don't ever want to be compared with, or I know that are not on my team. And that right. got scary for me. And it was also, it really did get scary for me, because I felt like there was something that was so near and dear to my heart, a topic that affected me closely, that I was now being associated with, and I couldn't have a chance to control. So I think what I'm trying to say is, for anybody out there listening, speak up, talk about it, share this truth, but make sure you're all communicating in truth, and make sure you're hearing people's stories first. There's an empathy level that needs to be brought into this, to listen, to trust, and to know. And so, yeah, I appreciate Ashley Spivey. I really do. I didn't last week.
I like her too, because I think she's trying, and I respect anybody that's making an effort. I think what she's experiencing is learning as she goes on yeah. how to do that in the right way. And I yeah. think she makes missteps all the time.
Well, 100%, she did it.
This was definitely a step in the right direction, though. It was so
this
different.
Yeah.
yeah, it was so different hearing her talk to you yeah. vocally, not through the computer screen.
I agree. I think I completely agree. It's just a lot, and honestly, it's a lot less intimidating. It feels a lot less uncontrollable, because as we're spouting back and forth at each other on Twitter, explanations really aren't getting heard. Stories are not getting heard. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned here. But I was angry at Ashley last week. I mean, she was my worst enemy about a week and a half ago, and now she's somebody that I'm going to always learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So again, please donate to RAIN. I will be donating to RAIN. The hotline is 800-656-HOPE. Also, Ashley Spivey will be donating to Humanity and Hope United, which is a nonprofit that focuses on alleviating human injustice in Honduras and building successful, sustainable communities. And one of the ways they do that is by empowering women and by supplying jobs for over 90% of the women in these communities that they work with. So I don't know. It's heavy, but we've talked about it. And I think the only way that we will continue to confront this issue is to have open and honest dialogue. With that, Ashley, we've got a big podcast ahead of us.
Man, it's going to be weird to just jump into another conversation now, but we got to do it.
It is hard to transition, but it's not hard to transition when you're transitioning to something so good, right? So positive. We're going to
so
be talking
comfy.
To Tanner Tolbert here coming up very soon. I might be more angry at Tanner Tolbert and you for the next 10 minutes than I ever was at Ashley Spivey. Something I'm not angry at is Bull & Branch. Bull & Branch makes the softest, most comfortable 100% organic cotton sheets you'll ever sleep on. They only sell to you online at bullandbranch.com, so their sheets cost less than half of the designer brands and are twice the quality. They're made from 100%. That's not 99.9. That's 100% organic cotton. They start out soft and get even softer over time. Here's the funny part. Three U.S. presidents love Bull & Branch sheets. This has always been interesting to me. I don't know why. Maybe I want to be president one day, because it's just something about presidency.
We know you do.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was like something that was known, because I didn't know that about myself.
Oh, whoops.
But there's something about presidency that intrigues me, because I feel like they probably have the best of everything. And I've been watching The West Wing. And I'm on episode three of The West Wing.
Is it not the best show ever? Oh, my
it's
God.
Insane. So here,
you're only on episode three?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just so wait. Oh, season. I don't even want to. You don't even know what is coming.
I've never heard you get more excited.
Because I actually think it might be the best show ever made. I've watched it through, just started again at the beginning.
If I like Scandal, I like that.
My friend Angie's husband just watches it, watches the whole series, then watches it again, then watches it again, and watches it again. And what's crazy, I'm sorry to go off, is that it seems like it's current. Like it was, wait, you have no idea. All I want to say is wait for the end of this season and call me, because you will be, your mouth will be open and you will be like fighting tears and shock and not knowing what to do.
Okay, you actually sold me. I'm going to watch it later. Anyway, Bolin Branch.
So this weekend, I just got back from Los Angeles last night. I spoke at Politicon this weekend, which is a political conference that can that brings in some of the most recent political leaders of our day to speak and share about where they're at, what their stories are, and where they're standing, and what they view the current atmosphere of the United States as today. Here's the cool part. The West Wing, Amy and Ashley, actually did a panel at this conference that I sat in on, along with one of the advisors to Obama. Mm-hmm. And so the advisor to Obama literally said when they got announced that President Obama was going into office, they all watched the West Wing to prepare themselves for their next jobs, because that's how accurate it actually is. I promise you, they said the only thing that's not accurate about the West Wing mm-hmm. is the size of the offices. The offices are actually smaller in real life than they are in the West Wing. But they said everything else, like the job of the Secretary of Communication or any of that, is actually very, very accurate. And so I started watching it here this week because of that. And as I watched it last night, the president shows his room, like his sleeping quarters, and I saw the sheets, and I was like, I bet they're Bolin Branch.
Prepare to not leave your house. It is so good.
You won't believe how comfortable 100% organic cotton sheets can feel until you try Bolin Branch. You can try them for a whole month. If you're not the most comfortable thing you've ever slept on, or any other way you want to test drive your sheets, send them back for a full refund. No risk means no reason not to try. Plus, you get $50 off your first set of sheets at BolinBranch.com. Use our promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS, spelled B-O-L-L, and branch.com. Promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS for $50 off your first set of sheets. BolinBranch.com, promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS. At the end of the podcast, I think we're going to have to take some time and talk about the West Wing. I know that that's not what you want to do during the middle of it, but at least we'll do it at the end. So if you want to skip over the whole thing, great. But if not, Amy, Ashley, we've got to talk. And I know you also want to talk about something else very important to you, very special to you, Ashley. Ashley, tell us about FabFitFun.
FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. It's a favorite of mine. It's a favorite of our next guest, Tanner Tolbert's. And it only retails for $49.99, but it always has a value of over $200. Don't ask me how they do it. They do it, and they do it every single quarter. Getting your FabFitFun box in the mail feels like Christmas four times a year. Seriously, and especially as time goes on and the box gets better and better, some of the contents that you can expect to see in FabFitFun boxes are like skincare from Glam Glow and Juice Beauty, both things that I have in my glam room and that are big favorites of my skin. Fashion items, including things from Free People and Michael Stars, and beauty products from Tarte, Moroccan Oil, and Chai. Don't miss out, because they sell out fast. And I know that some companies go, oh, they sell out fast. No, but really, these things sell out in less than a week. Check out FabFitFun.com and use the code ALMOSTFAMOUS. You can save $10 on your first box, making it only $39.99. And don't forget, the value is over $200. Again, that is FabFitFun.com. Use the code ALMOSTFAMOUS and treat yourself. Treat yourself. Ben, I'm sorry if you didn't want to be president and I just kind of put that on you. You don't want to be president? Then you don't have to be. I always just imagined you as president. I guess it was really just my own mindset.
Yeah, you know what I really do want to be? So we'll throw it out there, because I think a lot of the presidents do listen to the Almost Famous podcast. and I'm sure we have some future presidents listening. You know what my dream job is now?
What?
Outside of operating Generous, is to operate Generous and be an ambassador to a country.
Oh, okay. I can see you definitely doing that.
I'd love to do that. I just think that sounds awesome. I think I'm going to just like step out of here.
No.
I'm so angry. Feel like I need to step out the podcast and let you and Tanner have your moment. Because I don't feel welcomed anymore.
Oh my God. Okay. We have Tanner Tolbert, one of my very close friends, on the line. Hi, Tanner.
Hello, guys.
Hi. So we just spent 4 days together in Puerto Rico. It was the most amazing vacation. Jared and I have just been blessed with wonderful vacations at the W Fort Lauderdale, Royal Caribbean, and now this amazing week in Puerto Rico with you guys. Jade and Tanner vacations are the best vacations. And on this vacation, Jared posted an Instagram that I thought people already knew. I thought people already knew what was in the caption of this Instagram, but I guess they didn't. You will be officiating our wedding next August. And this is something that we've joked about for like ever since Jared and I got engaged, right?
Oh, yeah. Maybe even before that.
I know. I think so, too. But apparently I've made a boo-boo and I may have hurt Ben's feelings. And I think I hurt some fans' feelings out there, too. They were very defensive of you, Ben. Very defensive when this was announced. Because
Team Ben.
Before Jared and I were ever together and the Almost Famous podcast was just a mere baby, I said something along the lines of, Ben, I would love you to officiate my wedding one day. And truly, Ben, if I were not marrying Jared, I think you probably maybe would be. It's just that.
So it's Jared's decision.
It's not Jared's decision. It's Jared in my relationship.
I can see how this relationship is going to go.
No, Ben, you know, it's my relationship with Jared has completely evolved and unfolded and blossomed in front of Tanner Tolbert's eyes. He is closer to it than anyone other than our parents, our family.
It happened because of Tanner. I love Ben. Yeah. God bless you, Ben. I love you. But like Tanner, Jared went to Tanner and opened his soul, and Tanner said, dude, or might have said, bro, you got to do it. And so my thing is like,
I'm a bro guy. Yeah, yeah, bro.
So he said, bro. You got to do it. So Tanner is responsible for what is Ashley and Jared.
All right, Tanner.
Yeah, Ben. Yeah, Ben. Don't be mad at me. I mean, you got the role of the bachelor after a season together. Let me have this role. Let me have one shining moment, okay?
I just want it all. Tanner, I just want it all.
Ben, you get to now watch Tanner officiate, which is going to be the funniest thing you're ever going to see in your life, because Tanner always has this slight smile, this little sly grin.
Yeah. He's a cute
and it's
guy.
Going to be the most perfect thing I've ever seen at the altar. It's going to allow me to laugh through my tears rather than just have an emotional sob fest.
Well, you know what else it does for me? It allows me to kick back, relax, and have a couple cocktails in me that I was no longer going to be able to have. So, Tanner, it's your job. Go for it. I will be celebrating Ashley and Jared from the audience. Tanner, I really want to know, though. We've talked about it a couple times. Take us back to the moment where Jared did just release his heart and soul to you. And what was it, before you even spoke to Jared, as he was saying the words of, I think I love Ashley, what was going through your mind?
So I had dreamt of that moment for like 2 years.
Aww,
Jared and Ashley are that couple. Yeah, I know. It is kind of weird. But Jared and Ashley were that couple that was like, we traveled well together. And they were that couple that like, we liked the guy and the girl equal. And that's rare to have within a marriage if you actually like both people, not just the guy like the guy, girl like the girl, whatever the case may be. Aww. So I selfishly was rooting for this relationship to work out for about 2 years, just for my own needy reasons to have, you know, traveling buddies. But I didn't think it would actually happen, but I was always in their corner. And then I knew the moment when Jared decided to come to St. Lucia just for like 18-hour, you know, an 18-hour period. He didn't even have to tell me. He waited to tell me until we got down there. But I know no guy's going to travel, you know, 2 8-hour flights and over a span of 18 hours unless there's a girl involved.
Aww.
Like that just doesn't happen. So as soon as he got here, as soon as he got there, he pulled me aside, asked me the lowdown because I'd already kind of talked to Ashley about it. And Jerry spilled his guts, and the rest is history, man.
Yeah, it's a good story. Tanner was there when we first met. He was there when we had friend fights about why we were just friends. And then he was there as Jared's confidant when it was time to tell his real feelings. So come on, you have to understand why he's got to be our officiant.
I can't be that mad. No, I'm good. I've gotten over it. I was just excited. I support you also. I just feel like Tanner's one up me. You know, he gets Jade. He gets the baby. Gets the.
You don't even want to know what he won on FanDuel yesterday, then.
Tanner, have you had a big week?
I have. It was a very good Sunday in the Tolbert household.
Oh, my gosh. Everything's happened in the Tolbert household. Hey, for any of the fans listening, Tanner Tolbert was, I think, one of the most beloved people that I've ever seen in a house full of men competing for one woman. So when we were on Caitlin's season of The Bachelorette, everybody loved Tanner Tolbert. Everybody loved Jared also. It was just like they kind of were like two in one. And Tanner Tolbert was one of the guys. There was a lot of us at the end. Tanner, I want to kind of go back to this moment. We're standing in Ireland on the night that you got asked to go home. And I remember we're all standing there after this long journey with Caitlin. And I was one of these guys, but I think there was three of us that started to tear up knowing that one of our close friends were going to be going home that evening. And it was really sad. Tanner, do you remember that moment?
The bromance was real. Yeah, I honestly had a way bigger connection with you than I did with Caitlin. So it was a tough moment for me, for sure. But yeah, me and Jared did kind of have that role that season, just kind of where we kept hanging around. I obviously, Jared made it a little further than I did. But yeah, the love was real between us bros. I didn't even really know Caitlin, but I knew you pretty well.
Yeah, we knew each other very well. But everybody in the house, all the men loved you. You also, and then I know Ashley wants to dig into her relationship here, and I think it's important that we do. But there was this interesting. Did you ever kiss Caitlin?
I did, not on camera, but so it's just for just for my memory at this point.
Not
so
on
America
air.
America didn't think that I did, but I laid it on her a couple times.
That a boy.
That's for another story. Okay. So yeah, I think all the guys loved me in the house just because they knew I was no threat to their relationship with Caitlin. So it's easy to be liked if you're not a threat, I guess.
Every week, Tanner was shocked that he made it through. He's like, wait, what? She called my name again? This is just wrong.
For sure.
Hey, tell me about your last vacation. You went to Puerto Rico together here last week.
Yeah, Tam, do we have any stories to share other than just the fact that it was lovely? The thing that I love about Jade and Tanner is that we can sit down to like two-hour meals every day, and we never run out of things to say. We talk the entire time, and they're the friends that you don't go back to the hotel room and vent about. You're just like, wow, I love them. Wow, I could actually spend every hour together with them.
Exactly. We feel the same way. So yeah, there's not really any stories. Now that we're both like, married or engaged couples, nothing cool happens anymore.
No, our
vacations are just
go
to dinner and go to sleep. there's no juicy stories like there were back in the pre Jared and Ashley together trips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing that comes to mind, right, Ashley? We watched some HGTV together. That's what we do on
Most exciting
Isn't
topic
that
ever.
Lame?
I mean,
like we went back to our hotel rooms by 10:30 and we're like, yeah, it is about House Hunters time. And then we were texting each other from our respective rooms about House Hunters.
Unbelievable. Tanner, I'm very, very interested. Has the dynamic between Ashley and Jared changed? I mean, obviously a little bit, like they're affectionate. But have you felt a drastic change now that they're engaged compared to before when they were just friends?
I mean, they acted like best friends before because they were, and they still act like best friends. Just now, Jared is constantly kissing like Ashley's shoulder instead of sitting on the opposite sides of the table.
He doesn't get off of me.
I know Jared is very high on the whole PDA train.
Who would have thought, like, really go back 9 months, and who would have believed you if you said, like, oh, yeah, Jared can't keep his hands off Ashley?
Nobody. I remember when you guys were both single and when we were in the Bahamas, and I was, like, begging him to go kiss you.
Yeah, for
like,
Instagram's sake.
I don't know. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Now, fast forward years later, the dude can't keep his hands off of you.
Yeah. Well, did you change, like, perfume or something, Ash?
No.
His
pheromones have quite an effect on me, though. I just love his natural smell. Like, his face smells so good to me.
What does it smell like?
It's weird. But yeah, Tanner and Jade and Emmy. Emmy was the best on this trip, you guys. She is a little adult now. She cried. I think I saw like water come out of her eyes once in 4 days. And we were doing adult stuff, like going to fancy dinners and touring around Old San Juan. And she was so good. And she's starting to talk a little bit. This one time when she said, Dada, like we literally flipped out.
Yeah, the year is kind of the sweet spot. So when you guys have kids, don't even bother traveling that first year. Not worth it. But after that year, everything gets much easier.
Yeah.
Tell us about Emmy. You know, Tanner, I get to see it on Instagram, and you and Jade both post these loving pictures of your beautiful daughter. But for anybody out there listening, they're huge fans of you and Jade. You and Jade have made your mark on Bachelor Nation. Talk about a little bit about where you guys are at as a couple, and then how Emmy's doing.
Emmy's doing good. She just turned 14 months. She has not walked yet, so she's a little behind on the walking deal, but we're working on that. And then Jade and I have been trying to conceive baby number two for a few months now, and Jade just had her ovulation for a little period the last few days. You know what that means.
Well, they can't get pregnant before the wedding. It's like funny because they have to stop trying in December. They can't. Why? They can't do it in December when she's ovulating, because then she wouldn't be able to come to the wedding.
Right.
And
so, yeah, we can't have the due date then. So I'm pretty much I got laid this week.
This is really the last month they can do it, because she was at 8 months. She had Emmy at 8 months. So you know, just really skip November and December for us.
Yeah. So I might be celibate until like January or February. So yeah, thanks a lot, Jared.
All right. Well, Tanner, we got to let you go. Thank you so much. And hopefully we have you in here soon talking about the preparations for what you're going to say at our altar. All right. Talk to you a little later. Love you. Bye.
Hey, love you, buddy. Thanks, man.
See you. Bye.
Ben, we have a little bit more to talk about in this podcast, but I have another thing that's happened to me this week that I have to share with you. I got the results of my 23andMe, and I am only 14% Italian.
What did you
and
think?
I'm having an identity crisis.
I just have this feeling that you're like a part of royalty, and I'm going to have to hear about it forever now.
Well, I did find out that I'm also like 15% Irish and British. Who would have thought? So maybe I do have some Brit royalty in me, but I never knew that. So my dad got these results. I got the results back for mine, and then he's looking at them, and he's like, Grandpa must have been half Italian, and he probably was like half British as well. Like, isn't that insane? If you feel like we had this conversation before, but if you feel like this world is more divided than ever and you're tired of hearing about all the things that separate us, you're going to have to check out Spit. Spit is actually a podcast with iHeartRadio and 23andMe where they explore all things DNA and how we are all actually 99.5% genetically alike. The hosts sit down with the biggest stars, including John Legend and Melissa Etheridge, and other influencers to talk about how the world of genetic testing is changing who we are in the world around us. They explore a variety of important topics, such as how science stacks up against the stories that we've been told, and how much is nature and how much is nurture, and the modern definition of family, genetics, race, and outsmarting our genes, and a whole lot more. Ben, I can't wait for you to take 23andMe and to let me know how surprised you are at your heritage. Because now when people are like, what's your ethnicity? I'm going to be like, honestly, everything. I'm just like a European mutt.
So when you did it, what did you have to do?
All you do is you spit into this thing, which is kind of gross. And my sister was hilarious. So you're not supposed to eat and drink for half an hour before you spit into this vial. And she couldn't get enough spit. And it does say in the instructions, you're like, you're supposed to, it might take 5 minutes to get as much spit as you need. But in order to make as much saliva as she needed, she had to YouTube videos of pizza. To no. salivate.
No.
Yes. And I That's laughed amazing. So hard. And then a couple weeks later, we found out that we're only 14% Italian.
Wow. Did you guys match? I mean, I'm your sister, so I'm assuming, but like your stuff, does it exactly
yes.
match?
It matched. How crazy would it be if it came back different? I'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, that'd be super
You're
cool.
All, Mom, no, we have a problem.
Got a big issue.
For my dad's birthday, it was just last week, we got him a 23andMe, so it should be getting in the mail. And I'm like, Dad, why do you need that? You know, you have Lauren in my results, but he wants to really see like what his breakdown is.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, we have a couple questions. We're going to finish the podcast talking about Jordan and Jenna. Also, Wills has disappeared. Yeah. One of Bachelorette's favorite contestants is just nowhere to be found. Where is he? Let's find out. Only here on the Almost Famous podcast. Jillian Overland.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Jillian. You're a fan of the podcast and a lawyer. So we thought, how perfect would it be to have you on and talk about the legality of this Jordan and Jenna drama? Give us your perspective.
It's great to talk to you both. I was actually listening to the last podcast, and I heard Ben talking about this, and I thought to myself it would be great to provide a little bit of clarity as to what's been going on. So I've been following the story. I watched Bachelor in Paradise, and I was really kind of captivated by this dispute between the two of them. And, you know, in terms of this forensic report, that was really what stood out to me. You know, it's 3 pages long. I feel like the average person doesn't even want to read through the whole thing. But I wanted to sort of explain how these things happen. So, you know, usually when there's a legal dispute and there are two very different versions of what happened, a law firm will go ahead and hire a company like Protus 3, which is who Jenna's law firm hired. And their job, just so we're clear, is not to provide a neutral report of the analysis of whatever they're looking at. They're hired by the law firm that was hired by Jenna, and their job is to figure out a way to support her story. So just so we're clear on that, they're not neutral. They're kind of coming at it with a bias because they're being paid by a certain side. And ideally, the report should, the purpose of it should be to clear her name. And what I found really interesting is that even with that being the case, I don't think they even came close to clearing her name. And that really says a lot because that's their job. And so the fact that they weren't able to do that, I don't think is really great for Jenna's story. But at the same time, I think that the purpose of her releasing this report was with the goal of clearing herself. And I feel like maybe the average person might read this and sort of, you know, become suspicious of Jordan. But if you look at the report clearly, there are certain things in there that sort of were red flags to me. You know, and I think the biggest thing that I noticed is that you know, if you look on the first page of the report, they talk about the fact that there were only 269 recovered deleted text messages, and that seemed like a very low number to me. There were in all told, there were about 6,500 text messages and only 269 recovered text messages that were deleted. And the phone that she had, if I'm right, I think that phone, the iPhone 6, was released in 2014. So that's a pretty old phone.
Yeah.
And I just think it's odd. Where are the rest of the deleted text messages? And if you look at the last page, and Ben, you pointed this out, that really there's this huge disclaimer at the end saying, you know, we can only really review what we have. You know, we don't really know what happened here. That's kind of what the end of this letter says. And the truth is, if they don't have all of her text messages, there's really no, there's nothing about this report that's helpful. It doesn't really say anything. It's a whole bunch of speculation.
Who reviews this then? So the report gets put out there. I mean, it's this whole thing's under investigation by, I would imagine, a judge in whatever district this is being claimed. Like, who's reviewing these reports now?
Okay, that's a great question. So usually a report like this is created with the idea that the case is going to trial, that someone is filing a lawsuit. And usually there's a battle of the experts. So Jenna would have her report, and Jordan or Reality Steve would have their own report, depending on who she's suing. They would probably hire their own expert. And then this goes in front of a judge or a jury. And really it comes down to who the person who's trying the case believes. Because this would be a civil case, you don't have to prove who's right beyond a reasonable doubt. There's a much lower burden. So really, it's the question is, who do you believe more? It's really 51%. Who do you believe is telling the truth? Who's more likely to be telling the truth? And my personal takeaway from this, you know, usually with an expert report, at the end of the report, you'll have a conclusion, and the conclusion will say, you know, we've concluded within a reasonable degree of scientific certainty that in this case, Jenna did not send these text messages. You'll notice in this report, it doesn't say anything close to that, nothing like that. So, I mean, I'm almost surprised that she released the report, and the report itself is so weak to me that I doubt she'll ever take this to court, because this report, I don't feel really helps her. So I think what she was trying to do, if I had to guess, is hire a company that usually you would use if you're going to file a lawsuit, but she hired them specifically to clear her name to the public, just to make herself look innocent and then move forward.
The old bait and switch.
So she's hoping that this release is going to look like she didn't do it, but in a lawyer's eyes, it looks even more like she did it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, juicy.
Who exactly is she suing? I heard Amy kind of asking in the background there, and I think it's the question that we've all had, because the report mentions Jordan's name, but also claims that, you know, Reality Steve is at the head of this. It's Reality Steve that she's suing, correct?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard that she's suing anybody. And when she posted this, she wrote onward and upward, which I took to mean that she's trying to walk away from it. If she did try to sue, I would imagine she would sue both Reality Steve and Jordan. And then the question is, you know, how can she prove her case? So typically in a defamation case, you have to prove that what's being said about you is false. Mm-hmm. But worse than that for her is, you know, the question becomes, is she a public figure or not?
Well, yes, yeah, she is.
Sorry?
She is a public figure.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's interesting because if she's a public figure, which I would think she wants people to think of her as a public figure, the burden is a lot higher. So when you're a public figure and you're trying to prove that someone defamed you, you have to prove that when they said what they said about you, they knew what they were saying was false, or they completely disregarded the truth.
It's like the hardest case to win, right?
Very hard. It's a lot harder than if she was, you know, just a regular person. Mm-hmm. So I personally wouldn't think she's going to sue. I mean, I can't imagine that she would, but you never know.
This whole thing is just blown up to something that I still don't understand. Like, it's not good. You know, I don't like that anybody is getting ostracized and criticized for this, but it's a breakup. Like, why do we have to continue to drag this along? You're in the reality television world. People are going to talk about your breakup. Like, that just happens all the time.
Right.
I mean, why would I go out there and try to sue every single publication that talked about Lauren and I breaking up? That seems like a big waste of my time.
I think if the goal here is for her to repair her public image, she should just leave it with this report and walk away, because I don't really think it's going to be good for her to keep pursuing this. I just don't think it's really going to go anywhere that's positive for her.
I agree. Hey, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. This is something, as you heard last week, as you listened to the podcast, I didn't quite understand. I don't know if I ever really actually wanted to understand it, but I do now. You really helped me understand it. Thanks for emailing the podcast. That's crazy. You emailed our podcast. You said, hey, I have some insight into this. And as a result, now you're educating the both of us. Thank you so much for coming on the Almost Famous
Podcast. You're so welcome. And I want to say, I thought you did a pretty good job of explaining it. So good
on
you. I appreciated your effort. Absolutely.
I try hard.
That's good. All right. Thanks, guys. It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Julian. Thank you. We'll have you on call for our next legal issue in Bachelor Nation.
Sounds great. Take care.
All right. Well,
Ashley, Wills has disappeared.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We have another mystery on our hands.
Yeah. Before we go here, this has been, let me just talk to you for a second. The off season is usually so slow and so boring, and then we have to come up with crazy little segments like Ben Bitches, and we still have that on tape, but we're running out of time because there's so much happening this year when it comes to the Almost Famous podcast and Bachelor Nation. Ashley, tell us about Wills. Where'd he go?
So it was brought to our attention today by producer Amy that they've been talking in the Almost Famous Facebook group about the disappearance of Wills. Wills is, of course, from
Becca's season and then this past season to Bachelor in Paradise. And he hasn't posted anything on Instagram for the past month, which I would be like, okay, so maybe he just doesn't want to take part in the whole Instagram world of The Bachelor.
No chance.
That's
no
totally
chance.
Fine.
Everybody well, I mean, wants to take place.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was feeling defeated. Maybe he felt like I wasn't getting enough attention on there. So he was like, okay, I give up. But then things got really weird when I texted this morning and I said, hey, it's Ashley I. We were wondering if you wanted to come on the Almost Famous podcast. And it's been 3 hours and he hasn't responded.
Did it say delivered?
It says delivered. I think that he is, you know, maybe kidnapped.
He's on a show. Nope. He didn't.
Oh my God. You're so right.
That could be it.
Sorry for my squealing. Did you know that?
No, but I guarantee it. It happens. Like all these guys come on the show now and they get called to like MTV The Challenge or they get called on some other dating show like Marriage Boot Camp when all of a sudden they have a secret, you know, partner that you never knew. Then they disappear again. So I guarantee.
Oh my goodness.
Do you think Ben is in the CIA?
But it delivered, and normally their phones are off.
I'm a Renaissance man. I wear a lot of hats, Amy. The
really?
CIA is one
clever,
of them.
Clever move that I did not think of there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting that the text delivered.
You know what he's on, probably.
What do you think it is?
What was that show that was airing after Jersey Shore that
The Challenge?
Chase. Well, no, Chase was on.
Oh yeah, what was that?
X on the Beach. He's on X on the Beach. Season 2.
What a good career move. Terrific career move. Nothing's better than going on X on the Beach to really enhance your public image.
Let's see if he hits back because some people, not Ashley or me, don't respond to texts so quickly.
Oh, like Ben?
Ben is pretty good, but sometimes he disappears for a day. But like, I'm right back to you. So if you don't get right back to me,
Becca Tilly's the worst.
Oh my God, Becca Tilly,
so bad.
You have to blow her.
Here's my theory: at some point in the day, I just put my phone away, so it's all good. Hey, Wills has disappeared. Ashley Spivey showed up big and came on the podcast to tell her story. We have insight into Jordan and Jenna. Tanner Tolbert, my arch nemesis, comes on the podcast to talk about Ashley and Jared and their love story. It's actually something I love. I think it's great that he's doing it.
But Ben, before you go, we have an announcement.
We have a huge announcement. And I just wanted to say I'm going to have a lot more fun at your wedding now, Ashley, now that I'm not doing the actual wedding. I'm going to be an absolute riot. It's savage, the things I'm going to do at your wedding. I'm
going to
ruin the whole thing.
The little Gumby dance that you'll be doing.
Hey, iHeartRadio has been a huge, huge supporter of mine. Ashley and I are very thankful for iHeartRadio. It's been a really good partnership over the last 2 years. And now iHeart is kind of taking it up a notch and doing something for me that is very personal. You've heard me talk about it. Ashley Spivey and I actually just talked about it. Humanity and Hope United is an organization that I care a ton about. It's something I've been working with for the last 8 years. I'm on the board and I go to Honduras 3 to 4 times a year with this organization to try and find ways to build sustainable solutions in communities that feel forgotten. One of those ways, and I'll speed it up here, is that we have a community that is completely dependent on 30 acres of land. We call it the Grand Farm. The Grand Farm supplies 25 plus people with jobs every week, and those jobs then help them pay for education, healthcare, transportation, clean water, etc. Well, the Grand Farm is something that currently Humanity and Hope United leases, but there's a palm company, happens often in Honduras, coming in to say, we want this land. It's good land. We want to buy it out from underneath you. And the only way that we can stop them from doing that is to buy it ourselves. If we don't buy it, we're going to lose the opportunity for these jobs. We're going to lose the place for these jobs. And so I was telling this story to producer Amy and Ashley and iHeartRadio, and they said, well, let's do something about it here on the podcast. Let's do a fundraiser to raise money for Humanity and Hope United and the Grand Farm so that people in Honduras continue to have jobs and can continue to invest in the sustainability and the progress of their lives. So, Amy, I would love for you to explain to everybody out there listening the details of this fundraiser, what it looks like,
problem.
How it's going to operate.
We have two big ones coming up, so we're going to reveal the first one today. And basically, next week, you can go to ifonly.com and you can bid on a charity auction to come in studio with Ben and Ashley, co-host the Almost Famous podcast. Then Ben is going to take you to the brand new Palisades Village where you get a shopping spree at Carbon 38, which is like amazing workout clothes. You get to go to Lauren Conrad's store and have a shopping spree there. Her new store is called The Little Market. And there's a great story behind The Little Market, which I will totally go into. But everything is made by
women in other countries, and all the money goes back into those communities to help those women. And then Ben's going to take you out to dinner. So if you go to ifonly.com and you can search Ben Higgins, but Ben will post the link on his Instagram story for us with a swipe up. And then you can bid right there. And then we have in a couple more weeks, another fundraiser. All I'll tell you is it involves dating someone from The Bachelorette.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Amy, Ashley, everybody out there, this is super exciting. iHeartRadio, I appreciate it. Humanity and Hope United appreciates it. Let's raise, we have $250,000 to raise by March of 2019. I think we can do it. And this is a huge step in that. So, Amy, thank you so much. iHeartRadio, thank you. Ashley, thank you. Also, thank you to BioClarity. Our listeners will get their first month for 50% off a routine, plus shipping is free, and it comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you need to enter our code FAMOUS. Blue Apron, remember to check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/almostfamous. Bowl and Branch. No risk means no reason not to try them. Plus, you'll get $50 off your first set of sheets at bowlandbranch.com. Promo code almostfamous. FabFitFun. Check out fabfitfun.com and save and use our code almostfamous so you can save $10 off your first box, making it only $39.99. And finally, 23andMe, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. Make sure to check out full episodes of Spit now on iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Amy, I know before we go, out of a 1 out of 10, how good is the West Wing? I will continue to watch it no matter what.
10.
But
10.
For anybody out there listening that's like, let's say 15 to 25 who probably weren't started in 1999. Should we tell them to watch West Wing?
100%.
Is it that good?
100%. I don't know how to explain it. Everybody watch the first season and get back to me. There's no way you're not going to tell me it's amazing. It's amazing.
Right.
I watch so much television, and I would put this up there in my top five shows of all time.
Gosh,
of all
I'm literally
time.
Gonna binge all weekend, and I'm just gonna be mad at you the whole time because it's gonna be so good.
I think you have like 8 years or something. I think he did two terms, so there's like 6 to 8 seasons. You got a long way to go.
Watch me, kid. Hey, this has been an awesome podcast. Thanks to everybody who came on. Thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to iHeartRadio. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
Talk to you next week.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.